Good morning, and welcome to our brand new three-week mini-series called Great Relationships. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, we spent 7 weeks going through the greatest commands that God ever gave us, and that is to love God with all your hearts, your souls, and your mind. And the second command, as like that, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And we've selected the word greatness for 2021 for our church. Learning to experience the greatness of God and becoming great, doing the things that God has called us to do, to become a great church, a great person, a great single, a great married person, a great parent. We're going to be talking about those over the next 3 weeks. I want to do something this morning. If you are single, or single again, would you stand? Please. Single or single again, that means you've been married once, but you're now single again. Stay standing, because I want to say something to y'all. Come on, stand up if you're single. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Seriously. Here's what I want to tell you. I love you, and I'm so impressed with you. As I've been preparing this message, it has really brought a blessing to my heart to know that we have godly men and women who are single and single again, who continue to follow the Lord. And I want to just give them a hand. That's right. You may be seated. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to applaud you and tell you how much I respect you, how much that this means to me to be able to speak to you today. And I have to say to you that, and married couples, don't turn me off yet. This is something we all need to hear today. Because here's what I've discovered this week that I believe God revealed to my heart. Did you know that singles are the bookends of life? Singles are the bookends of life. But too often, we, particularly in the church, have somehow deemed our single population, our single demographic, our single and single again demographics, that somehow, some way, that you are some kind of second class citizen within God's kingdom. And I just want to say, I'm sorry that we have done that. You know, when I began, God just began to reveal all these things to me that I hopefully can share some of those with you this morning. Jesus was single. Amen? Can I get a witness to that? And so I want to talk to the singles this morning and tell you how much God loves you and how much God wants to use you, and how He's especially equipped you for a period in time, maybe for the rest of your life, to do the things that, quite frankly, married couples cannot do. And next week, don't worry, we're going to be talking about married couples, and then after that we'll be talking about parents. So invite all your friends, especially if you're wanting to be married, invite your friends, and maybe we'll give you the cliff notes. You might change your mind, I don't know. But I have to admit, I feel really awkward at first doing this, because I have not been single for over 37 years. And I'm not complaining about that. I told Karen this week, please don't be mad at me for anything I say this morning. But God has revealed to me some truths that I want to share with you. You know, in my example as a single, quite frankly and embarrassingly so, my singleness didn't exactly line up with God's will for my life most of the time. But thankfully, you don't have to look to my example of singleness to find examples of singleness, and God's Word will never take you astray. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to be spending some time there this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to begin talking about experience the greatness of singleness. Let's pray. God, I again, thank you for reminding me how important our singles and singles again are in your kingdom. Specifically, how they're important in the life of Connect Church. And God, this morning my prayer is, Holy Spirit, would you just reveal to us as a church how we can best minister to each other no matter what state we find ourselves in. Father, I pray for protection upon our singles, upon their minds and their hearts and their bodies. I pray that you would just keep them strong. And God, I'm just so impressed that week after week they make up a majority of are a big part of who we are as Connect Church, and I praise you for them. I thank you for them. I pray that, again, pray that you would just pour out your blessings upon them and continue pouring out your blessing through them. May you add understanding and action items as we read and study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul addresses singleness. It's hard to, there's a lot of single people in the Bible. You can go back and look through a lot of them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others. You see David for a period of time. He and Jonathan were single guys hanging out and doing all the fun stuff. You know, they didn't have Game Boy or Call of Duty. They had bows and arrows, you know, and they went out into the desert and found things. But being single in today's world is not an easy task. Can I get a witness to that? Those that are single. Those of you who are married, don't say anything. But Paul writes in chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Look what he says. A single man writing about singleness. He goes, I wish that all people were just like me. Single. But each of us has his own gift from God. One person in that way, and another in that way. I say to the unmarried, to the singles, and to widows, and you could put in widowers, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with desire. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't deny that there were challenges and conflicts as a single person. He was one. He understood what singles struggle with. Loneliness. I interviewed some of our singles in the church, and they gave me some pros and cons to being single, and I won't mention their names, but they talked about loneliness and struggling with physical desires, with celibacy, with self-worth. We live in a society that if you're not married, somehow you don't have self-worth, and it's not true because God created all of us, and guess what? Every single one of us started out single. So he says that is a gift from God. And I want to challenge our singles that to really kind of grasp the depth of that. Being single is not wrong. It is a gift given to you by God. Some have the gift for a long time, some for a lifetime, some have it for a period of time. But in your singleness, that is a gift from God where you are free from some of the things that we'll talk about. But singles struggle with self-worth, jealousy. Why am I always the bridesmaid and never the bride? Comparison. Well, I guess if I look like that person, maybe I could get a person like that. Maybe that's why, and I don't look the way that I look. Can I just tell you again that God made you unique and you're beautiful? I can't find anywhere in Scripture it says God created someone and said, ooh. Oh. No, I see it says he when he created, God is our creator, amen? And when he creates beautiful things, and you are beautiful in the eyes of God. And technically, as we learned in the last 7 weeks, that's really all that matters. You are beautiful, and you are valued in the eyes of God, and you're beautiful just like he is. And I'm glad that God isn't really worried about different size and shape. He loves the kaleidoscope of human beings that he created. He loves that. And you in your singleness need to understand that God loves you just like you are. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die in your place so that you may have eternal life, so that he will one day see you face to face and you will see him face to face and living in eternity. That's how special you are. There are real issues, this discouragement, depression, rejection, all of those things that you as singles struggle with. I didn't make a good single, to be honest with you. I fit more in that compassion, and I'm glad I'm a married person. I'm one of those that I'm glad to have been married. But not everybody feels that way. Marshall Siegel wrote in a book, Not Yet Married, he wrote, if you are single, or, and I will add in single again, Satan is after you. Satan is after you, singles. are single again. He's after you because he knows if you were to ever grasp your uniqueness and the gift that he has given you to be able to be untethered from some of the distractions and all the things that married life brings, he's afraid of you, therefore he hates you, and he's going to attack you on every level that he can, and he begins in the mind. And you got to understand that the accuser of the brothers and sisters is not God. God says it's good. Satan says, oh, you're a defect. It's not true. And he wrote in his book, Satan is after you, and that he loves to deceive, discourage, and derail your devotion to God and ministry to others. So many people I meet, and it was my attitude as well as a single, well, when I get married, then I'll be usable. Can I tell you, when you're single, you are more usable in a particular way than married people can ever be. God created you to be unleashed. Satan wants to keep you on his leash. Therefore, he works in your mind and all of these things, and we get our view of who we are based on television, based on, you know, magazines, based on what the world says is beautiful instead of what God says is beautiful. See, deceit and discouragement and this depression and all these things are straight from Satan's toolbox. He wants you to struggle with loneliness. Can I just tell you that God's word says, I will never leave you or forsake you? That no one can take you from my hands? Where you go, God is there. And where you're going, he's already there. Satan wants you to experience physical desires. Yes, those are natural tendencies, but God gave them to be used in the proper context. And Satan wants you to believe if you'll just give in to the celibacy and the physical desires, that somehow that will make you feel self-worth and esteem you. But can I just tell you, the moment that it happens outside the context of marriage, Satan jumps on your neck, puts his foot on your neck, and holds you down with a weight of guilt that you cannot even imagine. Many times he'll even add to that, and there'll be a surprise pregnancy. And then you got living, now you're living as a single mom and struggling with all that that brings. See, Satan's got a big toolbox, and he's after you singles because he knows what you're and you alone are capable of. He wants you to struggle with self-worth. Man, we believe the lie. Why not believe the truth that God says is good? Won't you say this? I'm good. You are. When you look in the mirror, instead of believing what the world say, look into the mirror of God's word and says, I'm good. I'm all that and then some. You ever grasp that? What would that change? How would that change your life? Satan wants you to succumb to the lies so that you never discover your potential as singles. He's very afraid of you and very afraid of your singleness, whether that's single again or single. Doesn't matter what age. If you're single, the Apostle Paul understood these lies from the pit. So he challenged the singles he was writing to not believe the lies, but rather embrace their singleness as a special and unique gift from God. See, we focus on the negatives, but we never really focus on the positive. And today, I want to help you underscore or underline your calling. Your calling is a gift of God. Look what it says in verses 17 through 20. The middle chapters are really a lot about men and women and being married, but there's several verses in chapter 7. I encourage you this week to just kind of break that apart because we're going to be camping out there a little bit. Each one must live his life in the situation the Lord assigned you when he called you. For all of us, I would encourage you to underline the word assigned and called. Assigned and called. What would happen in our lives if we viewed our current situation as an assignment from God and that we were called by God to fulfill that assignment? For whatever period or whatever length it is, that we would maximize the time we have in the event that we're currently in, our life station that we're in, if we would maximize that, and God would be allowed to unleash that onto the community and to our friends and our family and through our church. He said this, "This is what I command in all the churches. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called, he should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, he should not get circumcised. Circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter, but keeping God's commands does. Each person should remain in the life situation in which he was called." Now, we're not going to go into the depths and intricacies of circumcision. Don't worry. He's trying to make a point here. Quit trying to be someone that you're not. Be the person that God made you to be. The grass is not greener on the other side. It's different. So many singles that I know are trying to get out of their station instead of maximizing their station. A lot of married folks want to be single again. No, God called you to the station. If you said yes, you know the vow that's made there. And we'll talk some more about that next week. It's a vow that you make before God and a vow and a promise that you make to the other person. So you do your best. But sometimes that doesn't work out and become single again. Maximize that. Maximize this opportunity to be unleashed for God. Paul wanted his single readers to view their singleness as a gift. So many view it as a punishment. Don't view it that way. That's a lie from the pit. It's a burden, but God says it's an assignment. It's not some curse. It's not some punishment. It's not some kind of indication that you don't measure up. Your singleness is an assignment and a calling from God. And if we grasp that, and you take that out those doors that was talked about, and we begin to keep that energy outside, and we begin to maximize that, and I thank God for many of our singles. I hear the stories of how they're sharing Jesus with their peers. I see week after week how you're inviting your friends to come under the teaching and the nurture of God's Word and God's people. I wish we as married people would be more prone to catch some of your energy. Singleness is an assignment, like a soldier being assigned to a particular unit on that soldier's unique skill set. They don't assign non-medics to medical units to work on patients. Aren't you glad? you get assignment as a doctor because you have a unique skill set. Mine happened to be a military police special set of gifts. You know what? They didn't assign me to an infantry battalion. They assigned me to an MP unit based on my skill set. And God made you, so guess what? He knows your full potential, and He's assigned you where He wants to assign you based on what you possess, your spiritual skill set. Singles, you are on assignment from God, and you've been placed in an elite spiritual forces, if you will, unit to attack the very gates of heaven or hell. Bring people. Don't attack heaven, please. I'm getting so excited about this message. But it's a calling from God Himself. I'll never forget when I got assigned to one particular unit where I provided. I was basically like a Secret Service chief for 45 guys. I'll never forget when the boss called and he said, and we were on our way to do another assignment where I was going to be chief of black market crimes. And my boss called the colonel. I don't get a call from the colonel. He calls me and said, "Mac," they always call me Mac in the military. He said, "Mac, I got a job for you." I said, "Sir, you just gave me one. We're packing and ready to head to Heidelberg." He said, "No, I got another assignment from you." And it was from him. So when the colonel calls, guess what? You listen. When the father calls, we need to learn to listen. He said, "I've got another assignment for you." And he assigned me to protect General Pagonis for those 2 years to keep him from harm's way because he was number two on Hussein's hit list. What does that mean? He's assigned you. He's assigned you. Those of you who are single are single again. He has assigned you because He sees you as part of His elite spiritual fighting force. He wants to use you in ways that are unhindered from the ties of other relationships such as marriage. Singleness is a calling from God Himself. I love what Marshall Siegel wrote in that book. He said, singleness is not merely the minor league of marriage. What a truth. You're on first team, singles. You're the one, you're in the major leagues. You're going to be first at bat. You're the first that he has picked on his team to do what he wants you to do. You're first. You're not minor league. And God wants to use you, if you will allow him to do miraculous things. You are God's first picks. And once that you begin to understand that truth, you can begin to unleash the capabilities of your singleness. Look what he says here in verses 32 to 35. I want you to be without concerns. Now, you got to understand, you got to go back and look. He was talking about marriage. He goes, I want you to be without the concerns of marriage. Because let's face it, married people, let's just be honest. I asked I asked several of them what they liked about being single and what they didn't like. And one of our young adults, one single, said, you know, I like being single because I no longer have to shave my legs. I didn't know that was such a big thing, but I'm glad my wife shaves hers. But I'm glad she's not Sasquatch, you know. But, you know, there's things that you can enjoy. You don't have to worry about whether your husband's like, whoa, you know. You don't have to worry about your finance. If you want to spend something, you don't have to worry how it's going to impact your spouse. You want to stay up till midnight and help people and mentor people? You have that ability. Whereas, again, being married, you have to share all of those things and hope your wife or husband is agreeing with those things, because the more time you spend in ministry to others is less time that you spend in ministry to your wife or husband. There's some real barriers there. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to talk about next week. There are beautiful things that happen in the marriage, and there's some things you can only learn through marriage. But he's talking to the singles here, and he's saying, you know, you're his first picks, and I want you to be without concern. Here it is. An unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. As a single person, you don't have to have divided interest. Remember what I told you about the definition of Christian? It's real simple. It's about, and it follows the Shema. It's all about him, and it's all about others. It gives you an opportunity to focus on your relationship with God. It gives you an opportunity to go in depth with God and learn more about him. And when he prompts you to go do something, you don't have to. You could technically tomorrow get up and say, God told me to go to Africa, and I could go. I come home and tell Karen that. She's like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you sure? She's always told me, she said, make sure God's telling you that, not your own heart. And she said, if it's God's telling us, we'll do it. But it's not going to be without a little pushback. You have the freedom to do things that married couples cannot do. You don't have to be divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. See, this when you get married, there's an additional relationship that occurs that can draw you away from your relationship with God. Let me give you an example. Prayer, Bible study. I counseled a couple in a previous church that I was at, and the husband studied his Bible all the time. To the point that it caused his divorce, because he wouldn't spend time with his wife. His number one ministry, outside loving God, but his number first ministry should have been to his wife. A single person can stay up, read all the books that you want. You get control of the remote control. Show of hands, quick query. Ladies, this is for you. How many of you feel that your husband has more control over the remote control than you do? There you go. See, when you're single, you don't have to worry about that. All you have to be worried about is what God is asking you to do with what he's given you. Your freedom, your gift sets, those types of things. He said, I'm saying this, not this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you. Singleness is not a restraint. It's unrestrained. But because of what is proper and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Again, I love being married. And it changes even in marriage. When we first got married, it was just me and Karen. We still had a lot of fun. We could, at the drop of a hat, if we both agreed to it, we could go. But when kids came along, now there's another dynamic that pulls, quite frankly, pulls. Satan tries to use it to pull us from our devotion to God and devotion to our family. It makes our family sometimes more an idol than it should be. And I may not articulate this the way that I really want to, but I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will begin to show you how unique and how gifted and how usable you are in the hands of God. I think there's many benefits, again, to being single or spouse-free. Verse 32, you're free to make God your main focus, being concerned about the things of God. Verses 33 and 34, you are free from the common marital stressors. Okay, married couples, how many of you have experienced marital stressors in your marriage? Keep them up. Singles, look around. Look around. I'm not going to have you name them. But, you know, you ever try to go to a restaurant when one doesn't like fish and the other does? You miss out on things. But when you're unencumbered, you can eat all the fish that you want and don't have to worry about brushing your teeth. Now, for the rest of us here at church, please brush your teeth before you come on Sunday. In verse 35, we see that you're free to serve God with spontaneity. Married couples, we don't have that freedom. You can't just spontaneously do some of these things that God has asked us to do. I want you to think about it, singles. Go back and look at the ones that God called. Matthew 4:19, he says, he's calling out to these fishermen. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I don't know how many of them were actually married, but I suspect a bunch of stinky fishermen, they probably didn't have great relationships if they were married. You ever notice there's something about fishermen? Mark, where are you at? All you fishermen, you know, you love to fish. It's like, wow, I mean, it brings you your relaxation, and you can spend, guess what, hours and hours and hours out on the boat, right, Pastor Aline? Because you love fishing. But when you do that, there's these hinders. You got to answer if your wife's okay. Now, the trick of being married is learning that she's gone to the hairstylist. It's going to take her 3 hours, maximum, minimum. So you got 3 hours on the lake unencumbered, but you got to juggle those things. Singles, you can just go get on the lake. But if God calls you and says, I want you to go over here, well, it's late. You're able to go do that. We are not able to do that as married couples. Free to say yes more easily. When God says, I want you to do this, say yes. Free to make your own calendar. You know, how many of you who are married and parents don't have your own schedule anymore? You have your kids' calendars. Megan, you were playing softball this week, right? We loved our softball time. Our son played baseball, and we loved it, but it wasn't our schedule. It was the league schedule. And if you want to be with your kids, oftentimes you have to go when it was not convenient. Many of the games that our son had to play were on Sunday, and so I had a calling, so Karen would go and sit in the stands by herself. And it's interesting how Satan will pull you when you don't are not in agreement with calendars. It's slowly but surely, sometimes it can bring us apart as married couples. Free to choose what you will do, when you want to do it, with what time you have and what finances you have. You have that freedom. Now, I'm not the person that is good with finances. So I do. I have a wife that is very good with finances, and basically she says, don't spend any more this month, or hey, you can do this or you can do that. But as singles, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. It's your money, and you can do what it is after you've paid the Lord, of course. Free to choose different opportunities. Single to me, and I hope we have this on the screen. I made an acrostic. I like acrostics. I don't know if we have it. But single, free to be single. Just write out the words. Strong. Our singles are strong here at Connect Church, and I'm so proud of you for that. There's times of weakness, yes. But the fact is, I look out and I see your faces week after week after week. You're faithful. You're strong. You're independent. Man, the independence that you guys display amazes me. You're not afraid to challenge. You're not afraid to do the things that God has called you to do. You're noticeable. You know, when I grew up in church, it was somehow we shamed the singles that if they're not married by a certain age, there's something wrong with them. My cousin, who was very instrumental in leading my wife to the Lord, he was single for, I think he wasn't until his late 30s or mid-30s to late 30s that he finally got married. God led him to the woman that he wanted him to be with. But Ronnie, if you're out there and you're watching, I just want to tell you, I applaud your singleness. He endured shame, embarrassment. People even accused him of being homosexual. All the things that, and it was, something must be wrong with you, Ronnie. No, I'm going to tell you, you'll never find a more godly man than my cousin, Ronnie Frost. And he's led his children. His son now is on the mission field. I'm telling you, when you wait upon God and you maximize the opportunities, my wife, God, out of all the places, we drove all the way to Midland, Texas from Weatherford, and we were there less than 2 hours before my cousin's sharing Jesus with her. She gets mad because he says she thought in her religion he was telling her she was bad and wouldn't make it to heaven. That prompted a long conversation, and long story short, you know that God blessed me with leading my wife to the Lord, and everything has changed since then, all because a single man was bold enough to share with my wife that the Lord loves her so much. You're noticeable. You're generous. You know, I don't talk a lot about tithing because I know it makes people squirm, but a tithe is equal. Equal sacrifice. It may not be equal amounts, but it's equal sacrifices. And I've heard several of you, many of you, talk about giving your tithe to Connect Church. As it's, you realize that's what God asks of you. Oh, that the rest of us would catch that. Loving. And I like the last one, energetic. Man, I wish I had your energy again. Man, you put everything you have into it, and your energy is directed in whatever you and you pursue, and you put all your energy into it. And I just want you to know that your singleness is appreciated and applauded. But you have to ask the question, so what that I'm single? Every time you hear the Word of God or view, and this is kind of a brief, because there's not a lot of passages about singleness except that Jesus was. And I think that's enough, amen? Look what all he was able to accomplish. He was concerned about the Father's will. He didn't have to worry about hurting a wife's feelings from doing ministry or having to run home and make sure he gets to see his kids, be involved in their lives. He seized the opportunity. His was a short period. 33 years is not a long time. But you need to remember that you singles are single again, are fiercely, fiercely loved by God. God wants to use your singleness to mold you and to make you and to refine you to do the things that only you can do. And quite frankly, if you don't do them, they may not get done. And so God is calling you. I want you to know that God wants me to tell you that your identity is not based on whether you're single or married, but rather on your kingdom connection through Jesus Christ. There's where your self-worth is found. I was raised in a society at my age that a lot of the psychologists would tell you that many women found their self-worth in their husband. You go back to all the English stories in the 1700s, and they wanted to marry the guy for their status. Not for love, but because that in their eyes, they would have more self-worth. You're worth all that God has. You are worth everything. He sent his son to die for you so that you might have eternal life. I love the fact that Jesus was single in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Man, if I'm a single person, I would emblazon that on my heart, my head. I put it, write it down, read it every day. And here's what he said. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one, now check this out. This will blow your mind if you really grasp how deep this is. By one who has been tested in every way as we are. Now you think about all the ways in your singleness that you have been tested or tempted. Yet without sin. We had a campaign, and I guess they still do it today, called True Love Waits. Can I tell you, as I thought through that, no, it doesn't. It waits on getting married, but it doesn't wait on the love of God. It doesn't wait. You don't have to wait until you're married to display the love of God to yourself and to others. The first place for singles is you got to come to grips of who you are personally with God. And you won't make a great married partner until you come to grips with that question. You know, you've heard the stories, well, I'm going to marry this guy, and their friends will tell them, no, this guy's this, this, and this, and, well, I'll change him. When we should be saying, God, what do you want to change in me before I get married? How do you want to make me the vessel in which your love can flow freely through me? And so I encourage you as singles to recognize who you are in Christ. And finally, as the band is coming forward, ask yourself the question, now what? What do I do with what I just heard today? What do I do with that? Well, it's found in the Scripture, Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 through 16. I'd like to read these. I think they'll be up on the screen. Singles, this goes for everybody, but since this is directed at you, singles are single again. Keep God's word. Seek God with all your heart. Don't wander from God's commands. It's so easy to do in singleness. Treasure God's word in your heart so that you don't sin against God. And I've adapted this. Praise God for the gift of singleness. Continue to learn God's commands. Share God's word continually with words and deeds. Rejoice at all that God is showing you in his word right now. Maximize it. Unleash it. And the blessings and the opportunity he has given you right now. You don't have to wait to experience the greatness of God. I suggest that God has a period, these bookends, these periods where I've also heard when someone is now single again, God can't use me. That's just incorrect. Well, I'm old and single, and I'm never going to get remarried. God can't use me. Yes, he can, and he wants to. You can become a Titus woman, a Titus man. Those who are investing in those who are coming up behind us and those who are struggling in their singleness. We as a church don't do a great job of ministering to our single people. But you know what I heard over and again? They would love to be in our homes. They would love to have those who could mentor them and walk with them, someone they could share the real struggles with and not be condemned, but to be just encouraged and have someone point them to where they can get that encouragement from the word that they need. You know, I had a lot of time to reflect on this, and before I met Karen, and all of my military training was at Fort McClellan. And I was lonely. All the things that I shared with you, I was depressed. I found a church just outside of the back gates of Fort McClellan. And there, I met a man named Dr. Richard Cobb, the pastor. And he was there a long time because I was in and out of schools there for years. But I went to that church, but there was another man there and his wife who couldn't have kids on their own. And they would invite single soldiers such as myself to their home. And they would give us a good meal. They had a basketball court. No kids. That was for the soldiers. Their ministry for those who were struggling with singleness. And they ministered and ministered and ministered. And I love that man and his wife. Maybe that's what we need to be doing. That is what we need to be doing for our singles. Don't just read God's Word. Meditate on those teachings and embrace God's way for your life. Regardless of the situation in which you find yourself, do not forget God's words. To those who are single again, let me just encourage you. Seize the opportunity. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that say, you must not be worth something because my husband or my wife left me. Don't be tempted to think that maybe your spouse has passed away, that God can't use me. Now he wants to use you in a different manner. That's for all of us. But singleness is on the bookends of life. Scripture tells us that when those of us who are married, and I don't particularly like this part of the scripture, to be honest. I love my wife so much, I want to spend eternity with her as her husband. And Jesus said it's not going to be quite like that. We'll be known as we're known, but it's not going to quite be like that. Because there is going to be undivided devotion to our Creator, our Father, our Holy God, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. We are going to be devoted on God. We'll enjoy the companies of others, but we will finally be and grasp how deep and wide the love of God is for us. So, church, we need to ask ourselves, what can we do to undergird our singles and singles again in our church and in our community? And I'll leave this with the rest of us. Intentionally get to know, mentor, spend time with, pray for, and yes, cook for our singles. As we close, I want one more challenge to the singles. I know that what you're going through is difficult. I know the temptations are radical. Just understand that Satan's trying to get you off track. But God wants you on track so that you can experience His greatness. And not be mediocre singles, but be great singles. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for your word. Pastor Aleem said this a few weeks ago. He says, there's not a situation where there's not a scripture. And I thank you that even in singleness, we can find encouragement and direction of how to live our lives for you, God. But I pray, God, this morning that whatever situation in which we find ourselves, single, single again, or married, single with children, single without children, that God, today you would convict us today to maximize and unleash the assignment and the gifting that you have given each of us. And God, I pray today that you would begin with our singles. In Jesus' name, amen. Carl's going to lead us, and the worship team's going to lead us in a song. Maybe you're single this morning and you've not yet dealt with the number one question of your worthwhileness. Your connection to God. You've been toying with the idea, you hung out at church, you hang out at church, but deep down inside, you know there's still something missing. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. You'll never make a great married partner until you're okay with God being single. I promise you that. Do business with God. Come and kneel with your friends. Come as singles, individuals, and kneel and pray and ask God to reach into your heart and to change your heart so that, again, you can be all that God wants you to be. Married couples, quit longing to be single again. Maximize the gift of marriage. Quit trying to spending all that energy trying to get out of a marriage or thinking if you could have another marriage that would change things, and work on your marriage to Christ Jesus. Work on your relationship and put that effort into following God and to falling in love with Him so that you will be the kind of spouse that your husband or your wife needs. Quit trying to use that energy that means nothing. Put it into your marriage, not into another marriage. I realize that divorce is a part of our world, and that's, you know, God hates divorce, and He knows why, and you know why. But you're now married, so put everything you got, surrender your life, surrender your marriage, surrender your spouse, to God in the situation in which you find yourself and watch. If you surrender that to God, He will unleash His greatness to you and through you. Let's stand.